Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in Masechet Makot Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah near the bottom, which, as I mentioned in a previous podcast, is really a borrowed Mishnah from Masechet Nazir. Nazir Shayash Shotei Yain Kol Hayom. We already saw this referred to earlier. Ein Chayav El Achatz. So if a Nazir was drinking wine all day and they warned him, don't drink wine, as a violation, he only gets one set of Makot, meaning each drop of wine, each cup of wine, even if there's a separation of time, they're all one violation. Amrulo al tishtel tishtel v'shutev, but if they keep warning him and he keeps drinking, chayav kol achad v'achad, each independent act marked off by a separate warning is a separate liability. Next mishnah is hayam mitamei lametim kol hayom. So the same deal applies if he was involved with contact with the dead. Eino chayav al achad, amrulo al tatamei al tatamei v'tamei chayav kol achad v'achad, and the same applies to the third Isur of Nazir. I am a galeach kol hayom. If he was cutting his hair all day, you know, chayav al achad. They give him one warning, so chayav once. Amrulo al tgalech, galeach. If they kept warning him and he kept acting in response to their warning, in spite of their warning, chayav al kol achad ve'achad. Okay, now here's a mishnah which is really borrowed from Masechet Kilayim. Hayalavush kilayim kol hayom. If somebody was wearing shatnez all day, eno chayav el achad. It's only one liability. Amrulo al tilbash v'poshet v'lovesh. But if they told him, don't wear it, and he took it off and put it on, took it off, put it on, chayav kol achad ve'achad. So here we're defining, in Nazir it's very easy. Each touch of a dead person, each contact with the dead is a separate isur. Each drink of wine is a separate isur. Each cutting of hair is a separate isur. Here we're defining that taking off and putting on the garment, that putting on a new garment, or putting on the same garment again, that's the isur of kilayim. We'll see it's not exactly that case. That's the case. Now the next Mishnah, which these are all grouped together, lays out a sort of can you top this? How many possible lavim can you get in one action? Yesh choresh telem achad v'chayav alav mishum shmoneh lavin. So it's possible to plow one furrow and violate eight things. How's that? Hachoresh b'shor uv'chamor. So first of all, if you plow using a donkey and an ox, that combination is prohibited by the Torah. V'hein muktashin. And they're both sanctified animals. Now that may be a second and third lav, depending how we read the next piece. The kilayim bekerem, and the field in which you are plowing is kilayim, meaning it has grapes and wheat planted there. Now, here's the kicker. If we say that kilayim is one prohibition, which seems to be the simple read of it, then you'd have to say, in order to get to eight lavim, that the shor and the chamor muktashim are two separate isurim, and the reason is that the shor is something that can go on the mizbeach, so that's using kochim mizbeach. The chamor clearly can't go on the mizbeach, so therefore it would be using kochim erakabayit, and that would be seen as two separate lavim. The other possibility is that kilayim may be a prohibition of both plowing and planting, supporting kilayim bakerem, and along with that, in every kerem, there's also kilei zraim. You're planting seeds together, and so that may be the double prohibition. Either way, by the time we get to kilayim, we got four. Okay, next, v'shviit v'yom tov. It was happening on a yom tov during shmita, so plowing during shmita, and the act of plowing on yom tov. And the person doing the plowing is a Kohen, who's also taken upon himself an oath of Nazirut, and the area that he's plowing, there's a grave there. So that's eight. Now he seems to be pushing the envelope here by really opening up a door that the Gemara is going to just run through, which is you could make up a lot of different lavim that the person's doing at the same time, but they're not necessarily related to plowing. And so he says, if the guy's wearing shatnez, by the way, if the guy is also cursing his friend b'shem Hashem, or if the guy is hating his friend in the heart, he won't get makot for that, but that's an isur. The guy could be worshipping Avodah Zorah the way that he's walking. There's a lot of other things he could do. So he picks one, which is kilayim, amrulo eno Hashem. He said that's not the same thing. And what they mean by that is that wearing kilayim is irrelevant to the plowing. So his answer is, amar lahem, avanazir lo Hashem. The fact that the guy's a Nazir and a Beit HaTumah has nothing to do with plowing. You could be there sitting relaxing and still be chayiv. It's the act of plowing you're focusing on. There you can only get six. So let's see how it plays out. So the first thing is about the earlier Mishnah about shatnez. As I mentioned, we're not going to focus on the Nazir Mishnah because we already talked about it a little bit and it's dealt with at length in Masechet Nazir. So we have Poshet V'Lovesh, Lovesh Mamash, Really, the proper read is this. Afilu machnisu motzi beit yadun kuli shelo. This either presented as a question or as a modification. Don't read it as if he has to take off the entire garment, but as long as he takes a sleeve off and puts it back on, that's a separate isur. But he instead showed, which indicates that this really was a question. And the question was, which is it? And his answer was, by showing, really showed taking the garment off and putting it on, taking the sleeve off and on is not significant. Ravashi comes with a whole different take. He says, sitting there, wearing the garment long enough to have taken off and put it back on is a separate chiyuv. So that means that if you're sitting there wearing a garment of shatnez, and the guy gives you a warning, don't wear it at shatnez. And 2 minutes later, another warning, don't wear it at shatnez. Better take it off at shatnez, etc. Each 2 minute segment is going to be a separate chiyuv, because the chiyuv is not for the act of putting it on, but it's for the result of wearing it. After all, remember that kilayim is about hanah, about getting benefit from it. And so therefore, each shear of being able to take it off and put it back on is a component. All right, back to our, can you top this? Vianai, this is starts from the side, b'chavura nimnu v'gamru. Vianai reported that the Beit Din got together and agreed on the following principle. Hachofa b'kilayim lokeh. If you take kilayim, a field in which there's grapes and wheat planted together, and you just cover up the dirt over it, you get makot for helping kilayim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan turned to him and said, "Lamishtatenu izu. You're not teaching anything new. That's in the Mishnah. Why?" Our Mishnah, how could you be chayiv for plowing? Remember, he's plowing here. How could you be chayiv for kilayim? So then, lav de mirsi ba de da'azil, isn't it that when you plow, you're covering up the dirt where the kilayim are, and he's chayiv? So you see, chofa be kilayim is chayiv already. Amar le, so Rabbi Yochanan turned to him and said, "Ilav de loy la chaspa, if I had not lifted up the shard, Mishkacha Marganita Tuta, you wouldn't have found the gem beneath it." In other words, Rav Yanai is giving himself a little credit for having presented the idea, but Rav Yochanan really was the gem who identified the Mishnah correctly. So Amrali Resh Lakish to Rav Yochanan. Resh Lakish, perhaps at the same time, perhaps later, said to Rav Yochanan, "Ilav the Kilsach Gavarab, if it weren't for the fact that this great man, Rav Yanai, praised you, I would have interpreted the Mishnah differently. He liked it, so I accept his interpretation. I would have thought that the author of our Mishnah is whom? Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva. De'amar mekayim kilayim lokeh. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that if you allow kilayim to be maintained in the field, you get makot just for letting them be there. Right? Now, my Rabbi Akiva, where's this Rabbi Akiva? The Tanya. Hamarachesh, which is to prune, v'amachafeh, or cover up. Kilayim lokeh, we have that. Kivomer af mekayim, even if you just leave them there. My time at Rabbi Akiva, what's the source? Titania, the pasuk about kilayim says, sarcha lo tizua kilayim. But now read the pasuk the way, take a look at the page and look at what I bolded. It's behemtacha lo tabia kilayim, sarcha lo tizua kilayim. So watch how he reads it. Ainli elozorea mechaim inayin, shetamad lomar, kilayim sarcha lo. In other words, he puts the punctuation in a whole funny place in order to come up with kilayim sarcha lo, which is b'hem tochalot to be a kilayim, comma, sarchalot to kilayim, which means, don't allow your field to be kilayim. Okay, good, so that's Rabbi Akiva. But in the meantime, since Rabbi Yanai prayed to Rabbi Yochanan, he realized that our Mishnah is about chofeh, and everybody agrees. Amar le Ula Rav Nachman. So Ula then said to Rav Nachman, v'lkinam mishum zorea b'yom tov. So if you're telling me that plowing over kilayim is considered like planting kilayim, then you should get makot for planting on yom tov besides plowing on yom tov. So Amar Lei, Tana V'Shir. So Nachman's answer was Tana V'Shir, which means the Tana didn't include everything. Amar Lei, Tana K'tani Shmona V'Atamar Tana V'Shir. The Tana explicitly enumerated and said there's 8. How could you say I left something out? His whole point was to try to show you how many you could get. Why would he leave something out? So Amar Rava, Rava said, Yesh Chiluk Malachot B'Shabbat V'Ein Chiluk Malachot B'Yom Tov. There is a Chiluk Malachot, which means if you do multiple Malachot on Shabbat, then each malacha is a separate chiyuv to the point where you could get 39 liabilities, and it was the maximum 39 chataot for one Shabbat. But that does not exist on Yom Tov. The prohibition is, lo taseh chol malacha. That's it. And therefore, all the malachot you do is still one violation, unless it's a separate hatraot. And therefore, when the guy said to you, don't plow because it's yontif, so you're plowing and you're planting, whatever you're going to consider it, are all one thing. In Rachel Yonah, Amrale Adatahe. So Ula said back to Rav Nachman, or else Rav Nachman said back to Rava, who gave this answer, or Ula said, you're right. Now Etave Abaya, Abaya then turned to Rav and said, I think you're wrong. Enichilut Malachot B'Yom Tov? Is that really true? V'hatanan, watch this mission. Really, V'hatanan is a bright time. V'ashel G'di B'chalav B'Yom Tov Achalo. There's another one of these. Can you top this? If you take a Gid HaNasheh and you cook it with milk on Yom Tov and eat it, Lokeh Chamesh, you get 5 sets of Makot. First of all, Lokeh Mishum. Now, this is a later version of a later piece of the Brayta, as you'll see. So the original Brayta just said, if you do this on Yom Tov and eat it, you get 5 Makot. That's it. A later layer said as follows. Lokeh Mishum Ochel Gedi. First of all, your Gid. You're eating a Gid. Gid HaNasheh. You're cooking on Yom Tov for something that's not permitted, like cooking for non-Jews, or cooking for after Yontif, or cooking something not kosher. That's a violation. You're eating basar b'chalav, milk and meat. And you're also burning something on Yom Tov without a permissible reason. So therefore you see that you get makot for Mevashel and Havara and Yom Tov, separate Makot. Me'ita Mishum Havara lo Machayiv. You shouldn't be Chayiv for Havara. Techayiv le Mishum Bishulo. So his answer was, Rava's answer was, Afi Kavara va'ayli giran asher shol nevela. So Rava said, you know what? It could be a case where the animal that died was a nevela. And so it's not only are you eating giran asher, you're also eating nevela. At the middle layer of this Braita, the original Braita just said, if you do this and eat it, you're Chayiv Chamesh. Rabbi Chiya then gave a little clue and said, 2 of them are for the eating, 3 are for the cooking. And then we came up with our list, which clearly, according to Rabbi, can't be correct because it had 2 for Malachat Yom Tov. So he says, V'yita shalosh achilatohu dechayiv. So, but according to you, it should be 3 for the eating because it's Pasar v'chalav Gid and Nevela. And according to Rav Chiya, who we're accepting as authoritative, only 2 are for the eating and 3 are for the cooking. Ella afi kavara va'ayil atzei ashera. Take out havara. What's the third? And third is because you perhaps took wood that was from an ashera tree of avodah zara. Vazaratami hacha. Where's the prohibition? Leikbak miyadcha miyum menachem. You're not allowed to keep anything from that which is supposed to be destroyed of avodah zara. So if that's the case, you're not allowed to bring and use a piece of avodah zarah for yourself in your house. So you should get, every time you do this, you get 2 makot, which means it'll be up to 6. And we don't have 6, we have 5. What's the case? What you did is you took wood that was used for hektish, wood that was set aside for the ma'aracha, and you cooked on it. You should burn their asherot. You're not allowed to burn that which is used for God. And therefore, he said, that's why there's only 5 makot. Only 1 is for Malachat Yom Tov. 1 of them is for burning the Atzei Hekdesh. 1 of them is cooking milk and meat. 1 is eating milk and meat. 1 is for eating Kidan Hashem. And there's your 5, and we have no Chiluk Malachot B'Yom Tov. Okay. Now, Matkif the Rav Oshai. Yes, V'lechshuv Nami, this now is going back to our Mishnah, why don't you add the following? And by the way, there are no answers to almost all of these, which means, according to most Rishonim, that we really accept that theoretically there could be a lot more lavim in this furrow. The first one that he said is, V'lechshuv Nami Azoreb Nachal Eitan. If, let's say, the guy was plowing or planting in the Nachal Eitan, the wadi where you did the Ergla Rufar ceremony. The prohibition is asher lo yaved bo v'lo yizareah. You have to plant in a place where you're not going to work or plant. That's where you have to do the egla rufa, and that's understood in Masachat Sota to be a law of planting there. Markov Chananya, he had another one. Let's say that you had Hashem's name somehow written up, and as you were plowing, you erased it. And that's mehacha. You're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. Let's say you have a baheret, you have a nega, and you cut it off as part of this plowing. As you're walking, it gets cut off. You're not allowed to cut off the nega. Let's say somehow, and this is extremely far-fetched, you, as part of the plowing, the choshen, the breastplate of the kohen, got removed from the ephod, which you're not allowed to do. And hamasir ba de'aron, you also somehow removed the dowels from the Aron HaKodesh. Lo yasur menu and lo zachachoshen. Rav Ashi v'lechshuv Nami, Let's say that you were using Asherah wood as the plowing pieces, which you already saw. Let's say you also cut down nice trees as part of doing this. Alright, so up till there we have about 5, 6, 7 possible lavin that we could add, and nobody says boo to this. He comes up with another one. What if a guy takes an oath and says, I'm taking an oath that I won't plow on Yom Tov? He also violated his oath by plowing in Yom Tov, so he gets makot for that. The answer is no, that one doesn't work. Hatam lo kachal ha-shvua. The shvua doesn't work. Mushbav yom en marasinayhu. There's a general rule about shvuot. Unlike nedarim, you can't take a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah, because you're already committed, and you can't take a shvua to violate a mitzvah in a straight up kind of formulation, because you're already committed by an earlier shvua at Har Sinai to fulfill the mitzvah. So you can't take a shvua not to make Kiddush on Shabbos. You also can't take a shvua to make Kiddush on Shabbos, because you're obligated to do so. So then he says, Amar shvua shelo echrosh ben b'chol b'shem yom tov. So he says, oh, but what if the guy says, I'm taking an oath that I will not plow on Chol or Yom Tov, and then, migo de chala le shvua b'chol, chala le nam b'yom tov. Since the shvua is chal for Chol, when you are certainly allowed to plow, and therefore it applies, therefore it should also apply to Yom Tov, and therefore you could add that in. So here, they are trying to defend why the Tana didn't include it, which is very strange because all the other ones, Kotzitz Baheret and Mochaket Hashem, they didn't put up any resistance. But here, put up resistance, trying to say, why didn't the Tana include it? Mide ite b'she'ela lo katani. That the Tana didn't want to include things that you could revoke by being shoel on them. So therefore, since you could be shoel on your shvua and have the shvua retroactively erased, therefore it doesn't count. They won't count as part of their cheshbon. Love are hektish. What are you talking about? Two of the things there were hektish, and you could always be shoal or hektish. The answer is b'chor. Let's say the shor and the chamor were b'chorot. Okay, that's a little bit difficult because you have to po to the petah chamor of the petah chamor. Barei nazir. What about nazir? The answer is nazir shimshon. A nazir shimshon is somebody who's born that way, and therefore can't be shoal on the nazirut. Nazir Shimshon Bart Mui Lametim, but the whole point of the Nazir being in the Mishnah was that he was being a Tamil Lametim. And Nazir Shimshon's allowed to be a Tamil Lametim. So what's up? Ella, hi, Tana, Isur Kolo lately. The answer is our Tana does not hold Isur Cholal Isur, be Isur Kolo, or for that matter, be Isur Mosif. Meaning there's no way that something can become more Usur. And therefore he doesn't say that if you take a Shvua not to plow at all, that it's Chal Vagabe Yom Tov. It's not. Okay, now Amar Avishai, this is tangential. Hamarbiya shor psula mukdashim. Here's the reality: is if you have a shore that was hekdesh and then became posel, like by a mum, it, as the Torah says, it's not reduced back to total hulin. You're still not allowed to cut its wool and to work with it. So therefore, if you take it and made it lokeshnayim, you loka twice: once for cross breeding, if that's what you do. The other one is that it itself is like two kind of animals, as we'll see in a minute. Which means you took a single shore and plowed with it. You get makot. It's really one animal, but the Torah made it like two different animals, which is sort of hektesh, sort of chulin, and therefore it's like you're plowing with two different animals that really cannot be matched. Interesting halacha with which to end. This is, as I mentioned in the last podcast, the end of the series of Mishnayot about the lavim for which you get makot and chavikritut and mitot beitin. And from here on in, we will investigate how makot are administered. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.